50 years ago, on a day just like this, same day, 16th of June, 63, we started. Now I have my first, I record every title, I have a little title. And someone said, why don't you do the first message you did 50 years ago? I have no idea, but I did tell you what I spoke on, John chapter 4, 29 through 41. Now, I have no idea why I spoke on that. I have no idea what I said. But the next thing I said, the very next message, I said, I want you to understand at the starting point, as we started, the difference between the churches that existed and a New Testament church. I want you to know what a New Testament church is, because that's what we're going for. And that's where we started. And we did that in 6 o'clock. We did that in Sunday school. So that part's a little bit done. Now it's Father's Day. And you have to do that because it's Father's Day. So alrighty, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Now, remember Matthew chapter 5, the Jews, nation of Israel, looking, Sermon on the Mount. And it isn't looking at the law. It isn't looking at the gospel. It's looking at the people. And if you want to, you want a king instead of Caesar. You want me to be the king right now over the nation of Israel. If that happens, if you took it just as it is right now, let me tell you what is going to change and what it's going to be like. Now, when we read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you have the word for God, Father, 17 times. 17 times. I'm going to just give you a sample. Because I'm interested, if you're going to tell them, if they want God and all a blessing, what is this, where are you going to start? You start with the Father. The Father. It's all about God the Father on planet Earth. Now, chapter 5, picking up. If I may, verse 16, just a little sample. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 4. Alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which is in secret, seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So if you kept reading over and over again, there's only one person, God the Father. The Father, the Father, the Father, the Father. If you had, you're going to be, get your, there's a Father over this whole thing. One Father, God. And that's where you start. That's where you're going to end up. Now, Over, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, we have our Hebrew word of the one who begets, to bring into being, to be the father, to bring into being, to make, to produce, to support, the benefactor, the caretaker, the begetter, the creator. All of those words have to do with the word father, father, father. The one who brings into being, the one who does it, the source, the origin, the father, the father. Now, you're the father, or hang on to that, in light of your studies that you're doing on Sunday morning, in the light of the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19, etc. Isaiah chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, painstakingly born, a son is given, one who is given. God gives his son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name singular, shall be called Wonderful, Extraordinary, Wonderful, Extraordinary, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Father of Eternity, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is this? Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Eternal God. If you've seen me, he said, you have seen the Father. No question. God, you in your wonderment have displayed and put yourself on display in such a way that we could know you as Father. That's an awesome word. Of all the things in the world, of all the words in the world, it's a wonderful thing to have a father. To have a father. And you would recall and keep in mind that we have our founding fathers. And they founded, they're the source, the signers of the U.S. Constitution, Washington and Franklin and Jefferson, and they all of them signed the Constitution. They're called our founding. They're foundational. The America was built on the Constitution, Declaration, and all of that. And it was built upon that. They are the founding fathers. Father is extremely important. And we're living in a day, a terrible day, actually, where between the gay and homosexual and all of that, fathers are becoming obsolete. How do you talk about father and mother? You don't. You don't. And without a father, you have no. How are you going to find God? God is the Father. You didn't have a father. You don't know a father. You think of fathers are like all men. God isn't like all men. God is the creator, not the created. He's the Father. It's a wonderful word, a powerful word. It gives us huge identity, a wonderful capacity to experience life. Because I have a father who gave me this life. Wow. Now, over if you would please to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. And you would recall when you come to the end of the Old Testament, Israel has not, as a nation, taken advantage of their relationship to God. And this shows up in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name, and ye that say, wherein have we despised thy name? You guys should know, but they don't know. They don't know. Where is mine honor? Where is it? Now, over to chapter 3, Malachi. But in the process of that whole nation and its course in history, all the way to the crucifixion of Christ, there is a remnant, and God, you mark them out. That's right. In picking up, please, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. A serving, faithful son, I will watch him. Like you watch a precious jewel, I will watch that man or woman. Precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord. Wow. Now hang on to that. Now, in the light of that, so the origin, Father, has to do with source, origin. And it has to do with, in our case, a relationship. Humanly, we have a relationship to humans, and we have that to humans. And just go with me, why not? Over to Romans and chapter 1. In Romans, in chapter 1, we have a unique relationship in time, to time, by being humans. We have a human physical body. We were born physically, and we have a unique relationship to time, in time. We're physically here. And God, what have you done for us? We are physically here. You, remember Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you're the Father. When you're all done, when everything is done, I'm the Father. When you come to, I'll say it again like in Matthew 15, when all is done and the Lord Jesus Christ presents all of creation to God in subjection, what for? That God might be all in all. God the Father. Now, here in Romans, we're reminded because, just to remind you and myself, verse 20, or verse 19, I'm going to do it, because that which may be known, K-N-O-W, of God, about God, is manifest, made clear, public, plain, inside of them. Why? Why is it manifest clear? For God, who did this, God hath showed it. God hath showed it unto them. God showed, did it. For the invisible things from him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and his Godhead, his deity, so that they are without excuse. God, so that everything, everywhere that we study about the, notice in verse 20, for the invisible things. Invisible. The invisible things make things visible. They make them. Solids, gas, liquid, water. Wow. Make it visible. Energy, we shared in Sunday school. Matter, and then energy. Energy out of matter. And you can't see. You can't see all the atomic particles, subparticles, protons, neutrons, electrons. You can't see them. And they make up everything. But you can't see them. But it's because of them that you have a physical flesh, the piece of wood you can touch. You have clothes on your back. Clothes. All of that is because of the invisible. And you don't, you say, well, boy, I don't know God, I can't see Him. You can't see hardly anything that you have. You don't even understand it. And you use it every day, you trust it, you exercise it, you don't understand it. It's the invisible God said, I make myself visible by all creation. There's nothing you can study. And just think, if I had time, I'd go back to school. Where are you, Steve? I'd go back to school. I'd start all over again. And I'd have. I wouldn't have time to graduate. Because there's so much to learn. Wow. Wow. And what? You couldn't study. I can't think of it. You could probably. I can't think of anything you could study. Quantum mechanics, want to do that. Waves. What do you want to do? You want to study science, rocket ships, clothing, manufacturing? What do you want to study? Your body? Everything is so involved. Millions and trillions of cells make up your... Wow, they're dying every day and replaced in your body. The body's flowing all over the place all the time. You don't understand it. Everything you wear is based on the elements you can't see. And God made it, the invisible, to be visible, like the flowers, like your shirt, like the pew, like the electricity, so you could see. See what? Understand the invisible by seeing the visible. The Lord Jesus Christ became visible so that you could see the Father. You didn't have any question. To see me is to have seen my Father. No question about it. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in the forefront, if you would. Over, if you would, please. And in the light of eternity, God, here we are. Looking, God, looking to you, and the gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ, the content of the gospel, reveals the unique relationship that God intended us to have, a unique, wonderful, personal relationship. And God has given that. It's so deep, so full. God, you have made something possible. The infinite God. To make me understand a little bit. To have a unique personal relationship to you. The living and only God. As Father. The source of me. Of us. Our relationship to you, God. In the person of Jesus Christ as Father. Hang on to that. Not just as a flower. Not as a bug. Not as a bumblebee. As Father. Wow. Now, keeping that a little bit in front of us, so therefore... And it is very right and very real what you've made possible, because you're very real. All the world around us, all of the immaterial energy, matter, it's real. And obviously you're wearing it. You are it. Now you just got to move another step and say, God, why am I making an issue about you when I don't make an issue about anything else? So how am I ever going to get to know you? Well, God made it possible in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ to have a unique experience. God, God, to be to me the Savior. God, be to me the Father, to be able to love, to be loved, loved, loved. Flowers don't love anybody. Dogs don't love anybody. They may get attached to you, don't get me wrong. There's no, I know you say your dog is more loving than a man, more loving than anyone. I can't help it. A dog just isn't going to love. Do you understand? Just can't do it. I'll give it to you so it's easier. Pizza can't love you. Pizza? Eat pizza? You know, and you say, I love pizza. But pizza will never, never love you. You know that, don't you? The average pizza doesn't care 2 cents about whether you eat it or not. It just doesn't care. Now, God, you said that we're to have such a unique relationship to you, that we're to know that love, and that you're the source, you're the origin, and we are given a unique privilege of being called, as many as received them to you, became, you gave the privilege, the power, the right to become children of you, even to them that believe in your name. So God, here we are. Over, if you would please, since you're in Romans, maybe, over to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, picking up, please, in thought, we have a unique relationship to the Father so that we're in the family, the family. And thank God for all, every human being that tries to do it right and care about people and things. Thank God for that. But no one can replace you, God. No one. No one is as consistent and as able to do what you do. God, you alone can do for our little heart what no one, everyone in all the world could never do. So God, here we are. And if we receive you as our Savior, you make us a child. You make us a child. Uh-huh, I do. And not only that, Romans 8, and in verse 14, for as many as are led, for as many as are led to be governed, ruled, present tense, the being led, ruled, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. A son, they have a unique, wonderful relationship, a full orbited relationship. No time needed. You become a child when you're born again. And then you're made a son. And you have the full status, the full fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ to be a son. In all of its wonderment, all of its power to be a son. Now you have to learn all that's involved in that. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. But boy, I got to learn. I got to learn a whole lot. That's right. That's right. Thus in verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. Remember, adoption is the word son to be placed in, made a son, which I just mentioned. The spirit of adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, that's the Hebrew, Abba, the Father, 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 Hebrew, Greek, the Father. We are able to say, Father, Father. Why don't you say some other word? Because the buck stops here, Father. There's no one above and no one beyond. I am the simple, wonderful source of everything. I am the source. I am the creator. You are the created. You are given the privilege to know me, image and likeness, to know me in a marvelous way that no one else is. No one else has this. To be a child. of the Father. A son, as the Son of our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are in the Son, and the Son is in you. A unique personal relationship. Wow. Wouldn't it, using a different illustration, if you had, I'm trying to think of someone that you might like in the sense of money. There's Buffett and Bill Gates. Are they well off? And if Bill, I don't know, if Mr. Gates came, I walked across the street, Mr. Gates came and said, listen, I want you to know that you don't have to think about too much right now, because I am going to, here's my lawyer and here's a judge, both of them, you got to have a judge to authorize it, and the judge and the lawyer are going to be witnesses, and I am going to make you a legitimate son so that you will be an heir of my when I die. You're an heir now, but you'll be a wonderful heir when I die. Now, Jeanette, would you let me sign that? I'd say, wow, God did that for you. God did that in Christ. And when you received him as your Savior, you became a legit, watch, we'll read it. Romans 8, verse 17. I'll even read verse 16. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. What's the witness about, Spirit of God? That we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. God, you mean to tell me that joint heir, that's right. I want you to be a joint heir. I want you to enjoy a privileged position. You are an heir, a joint heir. You are going to show your unique relationship to the Father. How so? By being a son. I want you to be a son. A son. That's what I want. That's the only way you can be a legitimate heir. You got to be in my family. Over, if you would please, to Galatians. Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, will you help us? How did you get saved, Paul? The starting point. What is the starting point? What makes the relationship work? Receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's right. Thus, if I may, in verse 12, or verse 13, verse 11 better. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. The good news I'm telling you about isn't about men, from men, it's from God. For neither received this good news of man, neither was it I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, who is the content of the gospel. He's the good news. Sliding down, verse 15. For when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to what did he do? Reveal his son in me. That's what he did. He revealed his son in me. That Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to help you know the Son in you, so that you can say, Father, Father. I say that with full super duper authority. My Father. No question. Ever. My Father. Wow. It's legit. My Father. And to reveal his Son in me. Verse 16. Now, sliding up if I can, to chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Galatians. In chapter 4. Picking up, please. Verse 5. 4:5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, placed as sons, because You are sons, sons with all the privileges. You are sons because you are sons. I just stop there. You are sons. You are a son. Are you? I don't know. Are you a son? They aren't saying you will be because you are sons. It's a something that is. It exists. It's real. It's right. Deep. Profound. Simple. Marvelous. A relationship to God with all the benefits. Wow. You are sons, verse 6. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit of God did something wonderful, wonderful for us. Chapter 2, Galatians, verse 20. How did it show up? How does it show up in the believing heart? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have a wonderful life I now live in this physical body. But you know, the life that I now live, I had a relationship to mommy and daddy, humanly. But when I came to know the Lord as my Savior, God gave me a more wonderful mother and father are all going to die. All of those human relationships are terminated. But God, you gave me a relationship to you that never is terminated. It's called the relationship. It's called eternal life. You are the Father of eternity. You are the eternal Father. You are the Father. Now, over to chapter 4. Chapter 4. What are we going to do? Well, Paul, what do you see to do? We need to do something. What do people need? They need to understand to whom they belong if they got saved. Verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail, giving birth, I travail in birth again until, what are you doing, Paul? What is it you're struggling with? I'm trying to get, exercise the heart, the mind, the person in Christ to be formed. I want Christ to be formed in you. I want Christ to be formed in you. That's what I want. I want him to be formed in you. I want him. Over to Romans 8. How am I going to have all this wonderment? Well, you have to have a unique, you exercise, experience your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, picking up in thought, in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to mark out ahead of time the plan, purpose for that believing heart. And what is that? To be conformed to the image of his Son. To be conformed, to have the same like form as another. To be conformed to the image, the pattern, the original. To resemble, to represent his Son. What are we doing? We are left here on earth to represent his Son. In what way? We are sons. Sons, 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 sons. Wow. We are sons. Wow. As a son, using back to Bill Gates, I would be a legitimate heir of Bill Gates' fortune. I would be able to go and sit at Bill Gates' table. I would be able to go in Bill Gates' headquarters. I could, whatever. Wow. I might even have a Bill Gates charge card. He probably owns the charge card company. Wow. I have it. It's mine. Romans 8, to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be more and more like his Son. What was his Son like? The perfect Son of Man, Son of God. What was he like? He enjoyed all of the wonderment of the Father. I do nothing of myself. I only enjoy the the wonderful life of my Father. As perfect man, I give you a perfect example on what you're to do to enjoy a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. Wow. To be conformed to the image of his Son. The privilege of being saved and set apart, to be children, to have a corresponding responsibility, the exclusive right we give to God to be who he is. We don't argue with God. We don't fight with God. God has the exclusive right. When he saved me, to buy me, he redeemed me, he paid the price to bring me and make possible a restoration, a giving to me that which was lost because of sin, a unique personal relationship to who he is. And that's legit. God made that possible. Now, having said that, over to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you would recall, as we did that a bit ago, verse 16, 6 and 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, which is you? You are the body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. For you are bought, for you are the temple, you are, A-R-E, present tense, you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I'm going to find my home, where dwell. I'm going to make my home where they are. I am. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will be their God. God Almighty, you betcha. And I'm going to make my home in them. Therefore, God, what are you trying to tell me? I want you to know. I can't enjoy the living room with the devil in the basement. I don't want to be in the basement with the devil in the living room. If you don't mind, it's all to be mine. I don't want any of it. Self, Satan, the system. Push it out. You want me to be the head of your home, of your heart. Allow that to happen so that I can be free to help you in every closet. You got closets in the house? Drawers? All kinds of stuff? God said, I want to be able to help you on the left hand and the right hand. I want to be able to help your heart and your lungs. I want to be able to be God to you from head to toe. I want to be your God in the midst of this world. The world has the God, the Prince of the power of the air. He's the only one, and all the demons. But there are no other gods. Only you, God. So we're looking to you, God, what? To be an ever-present companion. So whenever anyone wants this house, the house belongs to you, Father. It's your home. And no one touches this territory unless you wish it. Germs, disease are all there. The same world, we all live in it. But God, you are going to take care of that. You aren't going to save it because flesh and blood cannot what? Inherit the kingdom of God. No, he isn't saving it. No way. Forget that. But he's going to use it. A vessel fit for the master's use. And when he's done, he's done. And he's going to use it. If he needs something, he's going to, if he needs your eyes, he's going to keep your eyes. He's going to keep whatever he needs. That's the way he is. Wow. Now, God, here we are looking. And in verse 17, wherefore, what have we got to do to get this wonderment, this wonderful thing? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons with the full privileges, and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I am going to be a father, and you are going to be a son. I want you to know I am going to be the father in position. In your life, I am going to be your father, your benefactor, the source and origin of all that you have and all that you shall ever be. I have that position. I want you to know I'm a father in practice. I practice being father. A lot of men don't practice being father. Practice being a father. Practice it. God, you will practice in my heart being a father. That's correct. And Father, I may give you a spanking. I may chasten you. I may do whatever. But I am your Father, and your Father loveth you. That's why he spanks you. You say you can't, the government will get you. Wrong. No government's going to get God in your heart. God will discipline your heart and chasten your heart and teach your heart to grow and to develop. He will be a father not only in position but in practice. And we give him the exclusive right to outwork his own honor and glory. We give him the exclusive right to do so as sons, as his children. No one else has that. You have it, God. No one else, just you have that. Wow. And thus, we're able to represent a unique relationship. We are to be the sons of God. And that's why we're given power and authority to do so. The power of the Spirit of God to be witnesses unto him. To be able to what? To be able to show a unique relationship that we have to God. He, what kind of relationship? Son, father, family. And all of the riches and all of the resources in heavenly places, on earth, above, and everywhere else. God, they're all at your disposal. Wonderfully, wonderfully at your disposal, God. And so here I am, God, looking to you. And God, I want you to stir my heart. It's Father's Day for the world, more or less, much or little. And God, government, remember I have told you the book a long time ago, Society Without a Father. Society, back then, it was written a long time ago, what was happening to our society, people don't have fathers anymore. Way back then, what would they write now? What would they write now? Wow. So now, God, here we are, and we're looking to you. And the government? No, I'm not looking to the government. Looking to religion? No, I don't want to look to religion. Religion, forget religion. The standard for the living that you require is your own self. You require yourself. Therefore, God, in the light of all of it, what are you looking for? God, you want to be my God and my Father. That's what you want. Uh-huh. I do. If you don't mind, we've said it 100 times, you know. God said, I'd like to take care of you. I'm your father. But I'm a big guy. No. Little children, my sons. You can't be the father. You can enjoy the father. And the more you rightly enjoy the father, the more you enjoy being a son. Because only sons can have what you do. Why? Because of my son. My son. So now, God, we need to look to you. Uh-huh. We need to lean upon you. Uh-huh. We need to love you. Uh-huh. We need to learn of you. Uh-huh. That's right. You do. Now, God. So give me, God, a little bit. Give me a little bit. All right. First John, chapter 1. First John and chapter 1. And you'll notice, please, First John, chapter 1. And picking up, if I can, in verse 3. I'll have to read verse 2, though, a little bit. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. How can you see eternal life? To show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father. The Father's the invisible God, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we tell you, so you understand it. So that when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you become a child of God, and you become a son of God, that verse 3, that when and that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I want you to enjoy the fellowship that we have. Fellowship. Father, Son, family, fellowship. You're going to make me do all bad things and punish me. No. I'm going to be your Father. The Father loves you. I care about it. And here's John and Peter and Paul. Here they all are. Here they are, and here I am, and here you are. And God, here we are. We have fellowship. We can have fellowship with you, Father, by way of your Son. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Our unique union, communion, being able to enjoy each other, to talk to each other, to pray, to communicate, to be loved, to be able to come to the table that you set before us and set for us. And you're waiting for me to sit down. I prepare a table before you as you travel down the corridor of time. And God, I can live like that. The world's awful stressful. And my dumb mind and heart causes me to worry and wonder and get anxious and discouraged and depressed and depleted and a thousand other things. But God, you aren't any of that. None of that belongs to you. And I don't need that. Because in myself, as a son of my human parents, I have problems. But when I became a son, your son, in the person of Jesus Christ, all my problems have a wonderful resource and a wonderful way that they'll all be worked out. In being conformed to the image of your Son, you are going to go and work all things together for good. That God, I, in the process, I'm going to learn what it is to be a son. To behave like a son, to walk like a son, to breathe like a son, to enjoy being a son. Father, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, God. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And we'll thank you for your grace and kindness and mercy. God, deal with the heart of each one. God, awaken us to the privilege that lies in front of us, that we would claim it, pursue it, fully awake, fully alert, going for it. God, Spirit of God, do the work that you do up and down every boy, girl, man, or woman. God, it's a wonderful thing. We don't know about earthly humans, whether they be fathers, mothers, brothers, or sisters. But God, when it comes to you, there are no questions. Only wonderful benefits. God, we're looking to you to deal with us for your own glory and your own honor, simply because you're you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And may want to turn in your hymnal to 5, 6, 4. 5.